In the literature corner, and of course it has been one of the most talked about books since the news broke, a book by a veteran journalist, publisher and author, a book called When Love Kills, looking at the tragic love story, the relationship between aka Keenan Forbes and his fiance Anele Tembe, has had a lot of conversation this week. We even saw a statement from the Forbes family relating to the book. The book is called When Love Kills. And to tell us more about the book and why she decided to write the book and what it tells us, we are joined on the line by journalist, publisher and author Melinda Ferguson. Melinda, thank you so much for your time this morning. Good morning.
Hi, Googs. My boyfriend just started grinding coffee and I thought, okay, let me move away. I will now run to another place.
I imagine you've had quite the week the news of your book coming out, all of the conversation, a statement from the Forbes family, and I don't even think the book is out yet. Is the book out yet?
The book has just landed. It landed in Joburg amidst the storm. The cover was leaked by somebody on Facebook.
Yes.
That was unfortunately, it was actually on the day, the third anniversary of Anele Tembe's death. Mm-hmm. I was totally caught unaware. We were only going to announce the book on yesterday.
Yes.
Yesterday was the day to put it out.
Yeah.
We had to scramble, obviously, now because everyone was now retweeting and sharing this thing. And finally, we just managed to get a press release out and we managed to get the book out into Joburg on Tuesday. It should be in store all over the country. Hopefully by yesterday, but maybe by Monday, but definitely Joburg's got it.
Yeah. And so your plan for how you launch the book goes out of the window because it leaks on Facebook. How I imagine you wanted to tell the story also, or how you wanted to frame the story, that goes out of the window because, of course, by the time it launches or we find out about it on social media, that's generally not how a book comes out. The publisher, the author decide this is how we're framing it. And so why did you write this book? And has that been
I've been asking myself the same question this week. I must say, I've been like, Googs, I'm experienced. I've nearly published 100 books in my life. I have published some with controversy. I've done the Oscar book. I did an Angelo Gritti book. I've done a Kelly Kumalo book. I've done a Lindiwe Hani book. I mean, I've done books, but I've never had a book that just, like, before a person read one word, I got crucified completely. But look, I mean, I think we'll talk about that if we have time. But let me tell you why I wrote the book. I got incredibly disturbed when Anele Tembe died on the 11th of April, 2021. A young, beautiful girl fell to her death and landed on a road on an early Sunday morning in Cape Town. You know, I just found that so tragic. I was, you know, obviously started reading more about Keenan and Anele after she died. I was aware that they were together, but I was very aware of the presence of AKA, I mean, as a musician, as a hip-hop artist. But that was when my heart got involved in the story. And my heart has been involved in the story a lot, which is why it's so hard for me to be experiencing the very callous and cruel things that are being said and being chucked my way, because my heart has been very pure in this story. And after Anele died and then the terrible abuse videos started coming out, I mean, everybody watched them. Everybody wrote about this story. I mean, all newspapers, all radio stations, all virtual online platforms, people have been writing and putting stuff out about the story for more than 3 years. This particular story. When Keenan was tragically killed last year with Tibbs, again, it was like a huge shock to me. My heart broke again for the Forbeses. My heart is broken for the Tembes, for all these people that have lost these two beautiful, talented people. And as a journalist, I felt that this was a huge and important story. There are two people that are dead. There's so much noise around this story. There's now the court case. There's the inquest into Anele Tembe's death starting hopefully soon. You know, so as a journalist, I saw an opportunity. And I will use that word, because which human being, unless you're highly depressed and sitting on some kind of medication and are depressed and you have no motivation in your life, which person in this world doesn't say, wow, this is an opportunity, and I'm going to, as a publisher and as an author, because I play two roles in this book, do a story that hopefully casts some kind of knowledge about what might have happened. I was not there. The only two people who were there really were Kiernan and Anele. They will never be able to be interviewed because they no longer are with us. But I did a lot of research. I spoke to people. I treated the story with dignity. I really felt like it was a story that broke my heart. It was a story of huge public interest. And for me, it was like a modern day Romeo and Juliet that went so badly wrong. And with two people, with a nation actually in shattered somewhat. GBV violence, it's got so many themes that are applicable to the world we live in. Anyway, I could carry on for the next 20 minutes on this, why I wrote the book.
Yeah, and so one of the, I guess, the big topic of conversation, which I also thought was interesting as, I guess, a writer and a journalist, was the idea that the families needed to be involved or had to be involved. Of course, we saw the statement from the Forbes family saying they weren't involved and that you'd reached out to them, but they declined to be involved. I saw some reports saying that you'd spoken to the Dembe family, and then other reports saying actually the Dembe family said they weren't involved. So were the families involved or not?
Sure, this is such a hard question for me, because on the Forbes level, I'm kind of legally bound to not disclose any details. I can say that I know Lynn Forbes and I know her well. In terms of the Dembes, I did speak to Moses. I think that there's been a lot of confusion. He did not commission the book. He did not pay me to write the book like Herman Mashaba paid Prince to write the book for 13 million rand. There's a lot of talk about me getting brown envelopes. I mean, in my dreams, I have not received a thing. So this I did consult with Moses Tembe, but I also don't want to sit and discuss that, because Moses has been through a lot, as Lynn Forbes and Tony has, the whole Tembe family. I think that the narrative has been skewed. In terms of that, Moses Tembe did not commission me to write the book.
And so in telling the story then, what does the book, and you know, I know you say you spoke to a number of people and you wanted to kind of look at, because I guess the story did capture our imaginations. I remember initially when the story broke, it was a Sunday morning, the story of a young woman who'd jumped off, I think it was the 10th floor of the Pepper Club in Cape Town. And there were rumors about who it was, because the night before, even until the early mornings, we'd seen, you know, Instagram stories, Instagram posts from both of them. And then, you know, suddenly there weren't any. And so when you wrote this book, what was the story you were wanting to tell? Because, of course, it's also a story about two people who are both no longer alive. Anela dying first, and then Kenan being killed last year. So what does the story try to tell us about this relationship? And I guess through this relationship, tell us about society?
Yeah. I wanted to tell a story of a relationship that started out with such promise, with beautiful Instagram posts of how we live our world in the filtered life of social media, and about a relationship that was, for whatever reasons, turned incredibly toxic. I'm incredibly interested in the darker side of life. I've been through my own struggles. I've written my book Smacked. I'm a recovering heroin and crack addict. I've been gang raped in my life. I've seen the dark side. I know the dark side. I also know what happens when drugs and alcohol are involved with people, and how amazing, healthy, beautiful people can become monsters because of substance. And I do believe that was driving a lot of their fights in this relationship. For me, it's almost a cautionary tale of like how love can kill, which is the title of the book, how love which has been misconstrued in the world that we live in and often celebrated in its toxicity. It's about celebrity culture. It's about putting people up on pedestals. It's about allowing toxic masculinity, and I'll use that word very pointedly, to exist because of the public. It's because of us that we allow people to get away. We allowed Oscar Pistorius to get away with his highly toxic behavior. Reeva Steenkamp lost her life. I think that there are many indications that Anele Tembe did not jump off the Pepper Club, the 10th story. I don't personally believe that she committed suicide. I don't know what happened in that room, but there is amazing evidence, very compelling evidence, that doesn't show a girl just trying to get up on a balcony and jump naked into a road at 7:15 on a morning in Cape Town.
And so in terms of, you know, your engagement with, I know you said in terms of the Forbes family, there are just certain things legally that you can't speak about. For your engagements with the Tembe family, specifically Anele's father, Moses, was it about, you know, his thoughts on the relationship? Was it about, you know, is he, essentially what I'm asking is he, I guess, part of the book? Was that the reason for the engagement? Or I guess in the same way that the Forbes family knew the book was happening, that the Tembe family be aware that the book was happening? So, because I also think that's also where some of the confusion is coming from was...
My answer to this, and I'm going to just cut you there because it's very... there's a lot of complication right now. And I'm going to tell you that things are going to get revealed very soon. Which is always a very a way of not answering a question. I want to say, read the book and you will see where Moses Tembe is in the book. That's all I'm saying about this. I'm not going to speak on behalf of him. I'd like people to read the book and they'll be able to see how and what he contributed to the book.
And so for you, this book is, you know, like you say, you've written numerous books about a number of issues, stories. Some of them were stories that gripped us and were of the public, in the public interest. But even I think the response to the book has been quite interesting, certainly the last week. And you were talking about it would be very silly to not take... if there was an opportunity to take the opportunity. And do you think there is a book about the response to this book?
Yeah, I mean, I was telling someone I'm going to write my next book called Leaked. And it's going to be, it was kind of a joke when I was talking about it to my friend. But I actually thought I've been through so much this week. My week started off by my dog being bit by a cobra. I mean, that's a very ominous sign.
Yeah.
He is alive. I managed to rescue him. I saved his life. But that's another whole show. How do you save your life, the dog's life, after it gets bit by a cobra? It was all just one long insanity. I think that a lot of people are also saying, why is a white person writing this story? And this is something that I really have almost no defense for. I understand the attachment to whiteness and how uncomfortable people are in terms of white people taking things. And I, in many ways, agree with that. So I understand the negativity attached to the white thing. I don't really know how to change my skin color, which is a pity. I did work 11 years in True Love magazine. I worked in... A purely black women's magazine. I did stories about Kiernan Forbes. I did cover stories with Bonang Matheba. I did stories about Zintle. I did know the world intimately that I'm writing about. I'm not just some imposter who is trying to grab a story and try and make a quick buck. People also think you're going to make millions. We've printed a very conservative print run. Book publishing in South Africa, and I'm sure you've spoken about this on your show, it's really challenging. Yeah. People think you just print millions of books. We've printed 4,000 copies Do you understand, like, how there isn't been a, there has not been this huge economic motivation? For me, it was important to put the story. I was taken into a tunnel. It felt like I was being called to write the book. I felt the presence of Anele very strongly during the writing of this book. And I also gave a lot of time to Kiernan Forbes because he was a huge character. There was a lot that he said himself in the last decade around his ideas about things. He was very prolific on social media. Kiernan Forbes was not as hard to write than as Anele Tembe was because very little was ever said, spoken by this girl because she was only 22 when she died. And maybe this sounds like white messiah complex, and I hope that it isn't because it, for me it wasn't about that, but I have been accused of it. I wanted to find a way to give voice to Anele Tembe as well. Because there's a lot of celebration for AKA, but people have forgotten about a girl who actually just wasn't a celebrity. She didn't have a voice, and she hadn't done what she could have done in her life.
Yeah. So, okay, so the book is coming out. Well, the book is out now.
Certainly
in Joburg. There's been a lot of response, but I don't think anyone's read it other than you, your publisher, the person who proofed it. And so who is this book for? I always ask that question. Who is this intended? Who's the intended reader?
I've got a lot of men interested in this book. I feel like it's a cross gender. I think it's for everybody. What I'm hoping is that people might read it and go, geez, I'm in a toxic relationship. I better get out because two people are dead. And I do believe in some way the relationship killed them. And for me, it's about learning about what toxic love is, being able to recognize it. And then also this terrible social media culture that we're living in where cruelty and callousness in so many ways, if you look at the social media interaction, what happened with Kiernan Forbes and Anele Tembe, how terrible people were to both of these people. Now they're being terrible to me. So I'm able to understand that it is this culture. It's the keyboard ninjas having their day, and then they move on and attack somebody else. So I'm not sitting with this too heavily because I realize it is just a moment in time. The book will be forgotten. The book will move on. I will write another book. I publish more books next month. So I'm also just trying to glide with this.
Melinda, thank you so much for giving us your time and joining us in the Literature Corner today.
Thank you, Googs.
Thank you so much. That is a veteran journalist, publisher, and author of a new book called When Love Kills, Melinda Ferguson, joining us this morning.